Social networking. A vast majority of computer literate people are part of some form of it, whether it be MySpace, Facebook or Twitter, just to name some of the major ones. With MySpace launching in 2003 and Facebook in 2004, social networking has quickly become a large part of our society. The internet has integrated into how we communicate and even how we operate. The problem is that social networking has evolved in such a short time, and a lot of people don't realise how much information they're giving out and the possibilities of being so public online.
Are you on Facebook or MySpace at all?
Yeah, on Facebook.
Yes.
And have you ever had a Facebook regret?
Yes.
And what was that?
Is that everybody knows what you're doing.
No, I'm pretty limited on what I put on there. I'm only a part-time Facebooker. I only put on there what I want other people to see.
Drunken status updates?
No, not particularly. It's all fair and love and war, really.
Well, you can't send message without other people reading it.
Okay, and have you ever worried about your privacy over Facebook?
A little bit, but I don't let networks or anything see my photos or anything like that, only friends.
No, I haven't. I've got my privacy settings done quite well on my profile, so it's not too bad.
I think just photos, like if other people take a photo of me and then I don't know it's been posted or something, I get worried about that.
All of a sudden, conversations that were once momentary things, preserved only by the mind, are recorded for all eternity on the net. Social networking can be both a tool and a danger when not used correctly. I spoke to Dr. Tama Lever about the quickly evolving place social networking now holds in our society.
It's prevalent in pretty much every facet of our social lives now. You can certainly see that pretty much everyone uses it to some extent, whether it be from sharing photos with family on Facebook through to it being a very substantial part of young people's lives in pretty much all of their social interactions.
And how many other ways can we use it apart from just putting up pictures and communicating with our friends?
Well, I think increasingly social media is integrated into pretty much all facets of what we do. It's especially prevalent when we look at business in any particular way. Increasingly today, if you don't have a social media strategy of some sort, then you're not engaging properly with your customers. It also has the potential to radically reshape the way that we engage with the news in general.
Do you think this has a negative effect on our society, this whole cyber world thing?
No, not at all. I think as with any new technology and any new use of media forms, it has the potential to change and increase and decrease the way that we do certain things. I think we have seen predominantly positive changes. I think the increase in connectivity and conversation between people is almost always a good thing. That said, there are some downsides because people have, if you like, embraced the use of certain tools before they've really thought through the differences between that and what they've experienced in the past. The most notable example, I guess, is the idea of privacy. With Facebook, for example, people will often share a great deal thinking that they're primarily sharing with their friends, and that's probably true, but they may not have checked their privacy settings. They may be effectively publishing their weekend photos and party antics to the world, and that's not really a problem in the short term, but if, say, for some reason that person becomes notable, they're involved in some sort of news story, their family members involved in dies in a car crash, any of these sort of things, then the media often turns to Facebook as one of the first resources, if you like. And if your privacy settings are set in such a way that all of your information is public, then it can shift from being part of a fairly intimate conversation to being part of a global conversation instantly. And that is a problem because a lot of people haven't fully thought through what that means.
And what are some of the dangers that people may not realise about having a Facebook profile that would be so open to everyone?
Oh, well, the biggest dangers are simply not thinking through the impact of what you're sharing. So there are quite a lot of famous cases now where people have been denied employment because their employer has searched their name either through Google or through Facebook, pulled up a profile and found images that do not fit with the image of an employee that they hope to have. There are all sorts of ethical questions about whether that should or shouldn't happen, but realistically, we know that employers do pretty much seek out every avenue open to them, and if you have a Facebook profile that is public, then you have very little grounds to stand on to say that you had no right to say that because you have effectively shared it with the world. Most social media services have fairly useful privacy tools, but it's often after something has gone wrong that people look to use those tools. And I think one of the things that we need to try and encourage is that more and more people should be aware of the privacy settings that are available to them in almost all of the services that they use.
Definitely.
It was quite a famous case that illustrates this in the UK earlier this year, where the head of MI6, his wife posted a whole bunch of their holiday snaps on a completely open profile on Facebook, and so suddenly his trajectory across the world was trackable through his wife's profile. And it's that sort of level of not really thinking things through that can be very problematic.
And also, over the last few years, we've seen MySpace and Facebook slowly gather more followers, you could say. I mean, are society's lines starting to blur between work and play and school and home? There was some girls that had put some sexually suggestive photos on one of these sites, and they were actually punished at school for it. I mean, what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, the school question is extremely difficult because we're dealing with a sort of a new territory where the social interactions that traditionally society and culture at large could never see. So those sort of, you know, what girls might do when they're out at a party, and what young people might be doing essentially in their sort of private conversations. Traditionally, those conversations have disappeared the second that they've happened. But with social media increasingly, those conversations persist. They last. There is a track record of them. And thinking through what that track record may or may not mean is quite important. So in the case of, especially with private schools, they're very concerned about their reputation. So if you have someone who's listed as coming from an elite private school and they put up, you know, photos of going to a fancy dress party and they've, you know, either very sexually suggestive or, you know, for maybe racist, something like that, that's a huge problem. It's a problem anyway, but it's much more of a problem when that seeps into the news media and suddenly you have, people from this particular school are obviously all anorexic or racist or whatever, and that information isn't traditionally something that could make its way into the public domain. And how we deal with that as a society is an important question, because at the moment the answer seems to be, if we can find it, we can use it.
Definitely. And I suppose with all this social networking and all this internet cyber world, is we're getting a permanent record of everything that's happened, every conversation a specific person has had. But is this always negative? Because there's been court cases recently where Facebook has actually been used for someone's alibi.
Yeah, I mean, there are always... always an upside. I don't think it's actually a problem at all. The problem is that we haven't thought that through. I think, yeah, as you say, there are many, many uses of persistent media, if you like, that are really, really important. And from a historical perspective and all sorts of other perspectives, it's great to have that record. What's important is for us to be aware that the record is being created and think about what that means. The case you refer to where a guy used a Facebook status update as an alibi is a great, you know, great example of social media being very useful to establish both where someone was and what they were doing. I think, in contrast, if everyone who is using social media basically started from the premise that anything I do online lasts forever, then that would solve a lot of the problems that we're seeing today.
And where do you see these technologies going in the future? Are they going to become dangerous for us or more useful?
I think that the biggest challenge in the future is not intrinsic to the technology, but it's in the way that we use it. And the biggest, or the most important thing coming, is that we increase people's knowledge and literacy about using these tools sensibly. So that means that if people are signing up to Facebook, then we should be having a conversation with them about how to use privacy settings, so that if they want to separate their social world from their professional world, from what their parents see, then they understand how to do that properly. And I think there are all sorts of implications for, say, politics. The idea that a politician won't have some sort of digital track record of their questionable youth in, say, 10, 15 years' time is going to be very, very unlikely. But those sort of questions will probably change the way that public relations and politics and things like that work.